The following is a segment from the Education Gadfly Show. Visit edexcellence.net to listen to full episodes or to sign up for the print edition of the Education Gadfly. For quicker delivery of the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Daniela, let's play Pardon the Gadfly.
So back in, I guess, December of 2010, Mike, you put out your 7-4-11 blog post, and I think one of your predictions was that ESEA would be reauthorized by Thanksgiving. So you've got another, you know, couple weeks to see if something plays out. But
may I remind you about my Kathy Black prediction?
Yes, that was good.
She would be gone by April. Boom. So, hey, I think I've still got, I'm still got some chances here. We'll see. Hey, I could have a Senate bill clearing the Senate by Thanksgiving.
Okay. We'll take half. That is half. Question number one. The Harkin-Enzi-ESEA proposal is being batted around the Senate this week. Imagine yourself a U.S. legislator. What would you push to keep and to chuck out the window?
Well, I would chuck it entirely out the window, and I would replace it with the bills put forward by Lamar Alexander and Richard Burr and others. Look,
I mean, is it really that different, though? I know it has, you know, specific provisions are different, but in general, it kind of aligns with the blueprint, which kind of aligns with, you know,
I mean, depends who you ask, right? And you know, okay, I haven't read all 800 pages, but looked enough at both bills that a friend of mine said, look, is it the same? Yes, they're both written in English. You know, if you look at them from 15,000 feet and squint, you see some similarities. But, I mean, there's some similarities around accountability, which is the biggest issue, you know, handing a lot of that back to the states. But on everything else, the Harkin-Enzi bill remains very much in the mold of federal micromanagement.
Well,
there's still dozens
of
programs and rules and regulations and getting into everybody's business on a number of different things.
But it did kind of retract some of its provisions already. You know, it went back on the teacher evaluation thing. It went back on, what else was it?
Equitable distribution
of teachers. Yeah, it was the equitable distribution of teachers. So, that is a big step back, because I think those were two of the kind of newest overreaches of the federal government involved. Yeah. So.
No, that's right. Now, where it still is, you know, there still has the highly qualified teachers mandate, which is the stupidest mandate in the history of federal government, in my view. And then, you know, expansive new efforts to turn around failing high schools. You know, there's a sense in this bill that, well, we made a mistake and No Child Left Behind, not going after high schools, because most of those schools are not Title I schools. So we're going to go after these dropout factories, which, you know, it's one of these ideas like teacher evaluation. Hey, it's a great idea at the state level. Fine. But why do we think the Department of Education knows anything about turning around failing high schools?
But what's the difference between high schools and elementary schools? I mean, if they're both bad, and if we're saying, you know, we want to turn around elementary schools and we want to shut them down and do something about them, what's the difference?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no difference. We've seen that the federal government doesn't know how to do elementary school, and now we're going to have them try to do high school, too. Yeah. So, you know, what we should be doing is handing this all back to the states, in my view. And look, it's very interesting. I mean, we disagree with our friends on the left about this. Our other reformers that we generally agree with on many things, like education sector or the Center for American Progress, they just continue to have a lot more faith in the federal government than we do. And they say, look, if we hand this stuff back to the states, we're going back to the mid-90s, and we know that states don't really care about poor kids. And I say, well, hey, the world has changed since then. We've got these state-level school reform groups in place that we didn't have back then. We've got Students First. We've got Stanford Children. We have a structure in school reform to go toe-to-toe on these issues with the unions, with other factors at the state level. Let's be more confident in ourselves being able to fight this fight and not make that a reason why we need to do federal micromanagement. Topic number two. I happen to have a lot of a strong opinion about this one, Daniela.
We're also standing because Mike's up on a soapbox right now, so we're quite tall.
I like that.